Let's read together Leviticus chapter 6, beginning at verse 8, right through the end of chapter 7. In this portion of Leviticus, we have further details about the five Old Testament Levitical offerings. In chapter 6, we have further details about the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the sin offering. And in chapter 7, we have further details about the trespass offering and the peace offering. Let's begin by reading about the burnt offering in verses 8 through 13 of chapter 6. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen trousers he shall put on his body, and take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order on it, and he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out." Let's begin our study of this portion of Leviticus with some background notes. The first question that logically comes to mind when we read these further details about the five Old Testament offerings is why these details were not added before, when each offering was presented in the first five chapters of Leviticus. Why spread them out with two more chapters? Are these details that Moses forgot to add the first time around? Answer: no, of course not. Upon closer examination, we find that these two chapters of extra details are primarily to give instructions to the priests as to their duties in reference to the offerings. Up until verse 8 of chapter 6, the people were addressed. Now, from verse 8 of chapter 6 on into chapter 7, this supplementary section about the offerings is addressed to the priests. The fact that the priests are separately addressed in these chapters as to their responsibilities in conducting the worship of the people certainly has its lessons for today. Spiritual leaders today are responsible to lead God's people in worship the right way, according to the teaching of the Word of God. And just as the priests of the Old Testament were responsible to teach and lead the people in all the details of worship, so the spiritual leaders of God's people today should not overlook the details. As a holy priesthood today, all believers have a responsibility to follow the details of worship as revealed in God's Word. But it is especially important and critical that the spiritual leaders today teach and lead in the details of worship according to Scripture, because many Christians don't know their Bible. And that brings us to our doctrinal teaching points for this portion of Leviticus. The further details of the five Old Testament Levitical offerings add to the overall picture of the sacrifice of Christ. The further details of the five Old Testament Levitical offerings add to the overall picture of the sacrifice of Christ. A, the burnt offering. In verses 8 through 13 of chapter 6, the verses that we just read, we have further details about the burnt offering. Remember, the burnt offering was totally consumed on the altar, a spiritual picture of Christ offering himself in total commitment to the Father, even to death. Now, we know from Exodus chapter 29 and Numbers chapter 28 that there was to be a continual burnt offering. That is, a lamb sacrificed every morning and a lamb sacrificed every evening. So we see here in Leviticus chapter 6 that the fire on the altar of sacrifice was never to go out. We will see in Leviticus chapter 9 that the Lord started this fire, and it was not to go out, even when they traveled. The continual burnt offering and continual fire on the altar reminded the people that the way of access to God was always there, and it pictures the sacrifice of Christ always before the Father, assuring believers of our full acceptance before God. B, the grain offering. In verses 14 through 23 of Leviticus 6, we have more details concerning the grain offering. Verses 14 through 18 cover the regulations of the grain offering when it was brought by the people. We see that the priests could partake of part of these unleavened cakes as long as it was in the tabernacle courts. As priests today, we find our spiritual sustenance in thinking of our Savior. Remember, the grain offering pictures Christ and his life of sinless perfection. Whenever the perfections of Christ become the focus of our attention, that time and place become like the courts of the temple for us. Now in verses 19 through 23, we have the regulations of the grain offering when it was brought by the priests themselves. We see that a grain offering for the priests was offered every day along with the burnt offering, half of it with the morning sacrifice and half of it with the evening sacrifice. Now, there's a great lesson for spiritual leaders today. In leading others to worship, let us not fail to worship the Lord ourselves. C, the sin offering. In verses 24 through 30 of chapter 6, we have more details about the sin offering. Let's read these verses. Also, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, the sin offering shall be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest who offers it for sin shall eat it. In a holy place it shall be eaten, in the court of the tabernacle of meeting. Everyone who touches its flesh must be holy. And when its blood is sprinkled on any garment, you shall wash that on which it was sprinkled in a holy place. But the earthen vessel in which it is boiled shall be broken. And if it is boiled in a bronze pot, it shall be both scoured and rinsed in water. All the males among the priests may eat it. It is most holy. But no sin offering from which any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of meeting to make atonement in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burned in the fire." We see in these further details concerning the sin offering that great precautions were taken so that the sin offering was not profaned in any way. The portion for the priest had to be eaten in a holy place. Any person or any garment that touched the sin offering or its blood had to be treated with special regulations so that everything associated with the sin offering would remain undefiled. The spiritual lesson for us today is obvious. Let us protect the holy things of God and not let them be profaned in any way. D, the trespass offering. In Leviticus chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, we have more details about the trespass offering. We saw in chapter 5 that restitution to the wronged party was a primary focus of the trespass offering. Here in chapter 7, we see that the foundation of atonement upon which any restitution rests is the main focus here in chapter 7. Now in verses 7 through 10, the portion of the priests in the four offerings just covered is summarized. The trespass offering is like the sin offering. There is one law for them both. The priest who makes atonement with it shall have it. And the priest who offers anyone's burnt offering, that priest shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering which he has offered. Also, every grain offering that is baked in the oven and all that is prepared in the covered pan or in a pan shall be the priest who offers it. E, the peace offering. Now in verses 11 through 21 of Leviticus chapter 7, we have further details about the peace offering. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer, with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Besides the cakes, as his offerings, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice. But on the next day, the remainder of it also may be eaten. The remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day must be burned with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering is eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, nor shall it be imputed to him. it shall be an abomination to him who offers it, and the person who eats of it shall bear guilt. The flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. And as for the clean flesh, all who are clean may eat of it. But the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord, while he is unclean, that person shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, the person who touches any unclean thing, such as human uncleanness, an unclean animal, or any abominable unclean thing, and who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord, that person shall be cut off from his people. Remember, the peace offering was the only offering in which the offerer shared, and this may be the reason why it is listed last here in these chapters of further details about the five offerings. Our peace with God and fellow believers is the happy result of the sacrificial work of Christ, pictured in all of these offerings. We saw in chapter 3 that even though we are still sinners by nature, pictured in the leaven permitted with this offering, the peace offering, we can have peace with God who is holy because of Christ, who is our peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. But notice that when you partook of the peace offering, you had to be clean, certainly picturing the truth that when we come to the Lord's table in fellowship, we should have judged ourselves. See 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29. Notice also in Leviticus chapter 7 that after a specified amount of time, the peace offering was not to be eaten. Now, what's this all about as far as a spiritual picture? Communion with God must be fresh and not too far removed from the work of the altar. So we've seen in these two chapters that the further details of the five Old Testament Levitical offerings add to the overall picture of the sacrifice of Christ. And now what about practical application from this portion of Leviticus? Don't forget the wave offering. Don't forget the wave offering. In verses 22 through 27, we see that no one was to eat the fat of any sacrifice which was considered the best part of the offering and given to the Lord, and no one was to drink the blood of any sacrifice, which certainly showed God's people to be different than the surrounding pagan people. But what about the wave offering in verses 28 through 36? The wave offering was a peace offering and got its name from the fact that it was waved back and forth and toward the altar, signifying that they gave to the Lord and the Lord gave back to them. We see in verses 32 and 34 that it may also have been waved up and down as in the heave offering of Exodus chapter 29. And if so, it's been pointed out that in the wave and heave offering, you have the sign of the cross. In any case, as food for the priests, it was the thigh and the breast of the animal that was waved before the Lord. The thigh speaks of strength, and the breast speaks of love. We too, as priests, find spiritual nourishment in the strength and love of the Lord. Don't forget the wave offering.